Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I just believe that you're going to be blessed with what I've got to say today. We are speaking about the New Testament perspective on finances. When we look at what Jesus Christ has done for us, we realize that there's a higher degree of glory in finances than what there was in the Old Testament. When you look at what Jesus has done for us, blessing and prosperity is supposed to come into our house because of Jesus and not because of us. In the previous broadcast, we said that the higher glory is there through the Holy Spirit and not through the law. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that there was glory on the face of Moses so much that you could not steadily behold it. That means it was as bright as the sun. Moses didn't just have this little glow on his face, it was as bright as the sun. But then it says the glory of the Spirit is so much better. Number one, I believe it's a greater glory. And number two, I believe it is unending. Moses had to wear a veil so that the people could speak to him. And the reason why he was wearing that veil is that the people could not see that the glory was fading. Now I've got good news for you. The New Testament glory doesn't fade. It is an ever-increasing glory. Isn't that powerful? Now let's read from Hebrews chapter 7. And I just believe we're going to explain where the tithe comes from, how the tithe works, and how the New Testament principle on finances works. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 11 says, if there were perfection by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek? Now what it says here, and it's very important to know, is that there's no perfection in finances or in anything through the law. The law could not make you perfect. And I want us to read that quickly in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1, and we can just settle this forever. Thank you, Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. And now very important verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, our flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, meaning seeking to be justified by the law, but after the Spirit, knowing that we've been justified by Jesus Christ. Now what it says here clearly is that the law was weak through our flesh. The law was weak through our inability to do it. The law is wonderful, but it could not bless us. And that's exactly what it says in verse 11. It says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek? So we can know that we could not be made perfect by the law. It says clearly in verse 3, for what the law could not do, that because it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So what it says is, there's a righteousness of the law, there's a blessing of the law that can come into you if you can do it. But it was too weak to bless us. The law, which is perfect, was weak because of our inability. Because of our weakness, it was weak. Like I said previously, and it's a wonderful comparison. If I tell you I've got $10 million for you in a bank account in New York, and I've given it all to you, there's just one little thing you must do. You must get into the ocean down at Hermanus, and you must swim all the way to New York. Now that's a nice 12 or 15,000 kilometer swim. And then you can have it all. The promise is wonderful, but that promise is too weak to bless me because of my inability to swim that distance. It's impossible. So that's exactly what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 8. The tithe principle is wonderful. It can bless you, but the only thing is you must then obey the whole law. And if you fall in any part of the law, it cannot really bless you. So what we must do is we must get into a greater glory, an easier way to receive what God has given us. We must know that Jesus Christ did not break the law. He obeyed the law. The Bible says, through the obedience of one, righteousness came onto the whole earth. And we can just go and read that quickly in also in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." I want to repeat verse 21 because it's very important. "That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now that is such a powerful, powerful scripture, because it says that grace reigns through righteousness because of Jesus. So Jesus obeyed on our behalf just as Adam disobeyed on our behalf. And because of his disobedience, all were made sinners, all fell into poverty, all fell into by the sweat of our brow. But when Jesus came, all fell into righteousness, and as many as believe it, that righteousness manifests in their lives, and they are made righteous because they believe in what Jesus has done. Amen. So Jesus obeyed the whole law. He paid the tithe on behalf of the human race in order to be blessed. I don't say that we're not allowed to give, and that Jesus gave, and that we don't have to give to the church. That's not what I'm saying. If you're hearing that, just tell your mind that's not what the guy is saying. I'm saying that Jesus did the prerequisite, that which was needed, the condition that was had to be met in order to be blessed was tithing. You had to tithe, sow, and do all those things, and then you would be blessed. And Jesus did it on behalf of man, just as Adam sinned on behalf of man and dumped people into poverty. In the same way, Jesus obeyed on our behalf and dumped us into wealth and riches, if we can believe it. Hallelujah. Then it will manifest. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's a radical statement, but it's the truth. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, and that you can show it to us in such a way. Right, Hebrews 7, we've touched on that. We've said that we've seen that the tithe was by the law, or the tithing is under the law. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 14, because so many times people say, but the tithe was way before the law. In Genesis chapter 14, Abram already tithed, and that was the place where the tithe started. Now I would like to turn there and just explain that piece so that we can understand what really happened in Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Sidon Laomer. And the kings that went with him at the valley of Shaveh was, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek." Now listen to this. This is very, very important. For this is a picture of the New Testament. It's a picture of what's happening today and how giving functions today. This is not, listen to me, the fact that Abraham paid a tithe never said that we had to pay a tithe. It's not written anywhere. He gave it out of the abundance of his heart, and it's only recorded that he gave it. It's only once recorded that he gave it. He might have given it more than once, but it's not recorded. He gave it that time. And the next time that we read about the tithe is when Jacob tried to bribe God with a tithe. "If you bless me, then I'll give you a tithe." And then we read in I think it's Deuteronomy 14, where the tithe was commanded to be given by the law. So let's read verse 18. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God, and blessed Abram, and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all." Now listen, the first thing that happened was Abram was blessed of God. He didn't pay a tithe and then he conquered the kings. He first conquered the kings. So God first blessed him. And after he blessed him, then he came and Melchizedek, which speaks of Jesus, the high priest, came as the high priest of God. Now you must remember, in that time, the time of Melchizedek, he was an honored king. And he was the high priest of God. They knew that he stood between man and God. He was without genealogy. Nobody knew who he was. They just knew this is a supernatural being. He is Melchizedek. He is the king of peace. He's the king of righteousness. He speaks of eternal life. He speaks of impossibility human-wise. And he speaks for God. And he comes, and what does he do? He's the king of righteousness, the king of peace. And when he speaks on behalf of righteousness and behalf of peace. That's the way he rules. And then he would say unto Abram, while giving bread and wine, he said, blessed are you. Now I want to take that into the New Testament perspective. Here is Jesus. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of peace. And he comes, he gives his body and his blood. And what does he say? He says, righteousness and peace through my body and my blood. And by this you are blessed. And the moment Abram understood that, the moment he said, well, I'm blessed because there's a word that came from God. I'm not blessed because I do anything. I'm not blessed because I'm this wonderful guy. I'm blessed because God's high priest prophesied, spoke God's word, ministered unto him out of righteousness and peace, and said unto him, you are blessed of God. The moment he said that, Abraham believed it. And when he believed the word that was spoken of Melchizedek, he was set free from mammon that very instant. The problem we have today, what I've seen in the lives of so many people is, they're not free from mammon. Mammon's got a hold on them. And what they do is, they tithe, sow and reap to get more of mammon. That's what they do. And that is not what God wants for people. That's not God's heart for people. That's not, He doesn't want people to be bound. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that He gave His Son, and how much more will He not with Him give us all things? Now that word all in all translations means all. So if He gave us righteousness by His Son, if He gave us peace by His Son, if He gave us health by His Son, if He gave us joy by His Son, why will He not also include finances, not on a later stage, but with Him? The Bible says, with Him He will give us all things. Not apart from Him, with Him and through Him. I want to tell you this, if something doesn't come through Jesus, it's not of God. That's it. If it comes out of your human effort, that financial prosperity you have, you've worked it up with your own effort. And we don't want that. We want the blessing that comes out of the effort Jesus made on our behalf. So what happened here? Here comes Melchizedek, the priest, the high priest of God. He speaks out of righteousness and peace. He serves with the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And out of that he spoke a word of blessing. He says, blessed are you, O Abraham, and blessed is God who has already blessed you. Doesn't that sound like the gospel? It sounds like the gospel. If there are people watching this and you are not saved, I would say it unto you this way. I come to you on behalf of Jesus Christ. He is the King of righteousness and the King of peace. He gives peace and righteousness unto you. And blessed are you because God has blessed you with every blessing there is in heaven. He's blessed you with forgiveness. If you can believe that today, that will change your life. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. That's what happened to Abraham. And when we look at that concerning giving, we should realize that that is what happened there. Abraham, then when he received that revelation that I'm blessed because God blesses me, He was set free from money to the point that he didn't try to gather anymore, but that he was willing to give away. You see, the problem we have today in churches is people are willing to tithe to get, and they'll pay their tithe, and then they'll grab onto the money and the blessing God gives them, and they'll tithe again and they'll tithe again so that they can get more. But what happens eventually is they're not set free from money. Money has still got a hold. But when you believe in Jesus, the Bible says when the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. I think that if we can have the supernatural glory manifestation of finances in the New Testament, which comes through Jesus Christ, and we can have this whole stingy nature of people delivered from that because they know that God is their source and that Jesus paid the tithe on their behalf in order for them to be blessed, that He was rich and He became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich. And if they can say, I believe I'm saved and I'm always saved because of Jesus, I believe I'm healed and I will always be in health because of Jesus. If they can say in the same way, I believe I've been made wealthy and I'll always be wealthy because of Jesus, fear for finances and financial shortage in the future will be it will be taken out of their lives. They'll be delivered from that. And once fear is out of your life, you start to think like God. You must realize when Adam and Eve was in the garden, he never had a shortage mentality. And that's what the church needs when it comes to finances. If we want to generate finances out of what we do, we'll have a shortage mentality. But if we can say that everything has been supplied by Jesus and it will always be supplied, and as long as what Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, as long as what He's seated there, I've got a right to financial prosperity and I prosper. As long as what Jesus is without a need in heaven, I'll be without a need. And if we can tap into that, and I want to say this, there's not many people who've tapped into that. There's not many people who've got that mindset. And I just wonder what will happen if the church starts to tap into that, and that starts to change the lives of people. And they start to think about money the way God thinks about money. If they've got God's perspective about provision. When God looks at us, He's provided in Jesus Christ for us. It doesn't say Jesus provides righteousness, but our deeds and what we do with our money, we provide a harvest for us. No, Jesus was the Word, and if that Word gets sown, that seed will produce fruit, and will produce fruit even in finances. So when we look at Genesis, we know it was not under the law. Abraham gave, he decided to give that, and that was it. Amen. That's it. This was not an implementation of a rule. This was not an implementation that we had to pay tithes unto anybody. Nowhere. Yeah, you can read it and go and study it. Phone me if you differ from me concerning this. But there is no place written here where it says Abraham commanded or Melchizedek said you should pay, otherwise I cannot bless you. First Melchizedek blessed Abraham. After he was blessed, Abraham, out of a release and a freedom from mammon because he took the Word and applied the Word to his finances, was blessed. So I don't say we're not supposed to give. I say, and we'll still get into giving, but this I want to say. God blesses everybody through His Word. How did God create the earth? And how did He create the heavens? He just spoke a word. How did He get light into darkness? He spoke a word. So how will we prosper? By the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus. So you're not going to prosper by tithing. You're going to prosper by the Word. But badly, a lot of people have received a lot of money through giving tithes. I just believe it's because of their faith. Because they believe God is going to bless me if I just give this tithe. Then they would give it. After they've given it, they will then say, Jesus, You bless me. And the faith in Jesus has blessed them. And the tithe was just a thing they thought they had to do in order to be blessed. That's it. If you've got five rules that you think you must do before you're going to be blessed of God, I bet you, you'll have to do the five. If you say, I must pray, I must fast, I must witness to somebody, I must pay a tithe, and I must go to church every Sunday, then I know my business will prosper. You know what's going to happen? Your business is going to prosper if you do those things. The other guy might only have two things. If I pay my tithe and go to church, he does the two, and after the two, he opens his heart to receive from God, and then he receives. As a man believeth in his heart, so is he. Amen. We're going to continue with this in the next session. Just meditate upon this. Think upon this. Read the scriptures. Talk to God about it. And just see what is the Holy Spirit witnessing in your heart. Remember what I said. You have to listen to all these sessions to get the balance of this. God bless you.